This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
Recently, the High Court of Australia heard a case that's been making its way through the court system for over 5 years. It involves a lesbian couple who had a child with a known donor, a gay man. After years of co-parenting together, the couple wanted to move to New Zealand, leading into the legal challenge. It's a case that is obviously emotional and raises fundamental questions about what it is to be a parent, and could raise concerns for some of the LGBTIQ+ people about how we create families. The High Court will be asked to make clear who can be a parent of a child under the current law. This decision will have ramifications across the country for children and sperm donors fulfilling a parental role in a child's life. Talia Blair from Steiner Legal represents the gay man in the case, and Toby Halligan spoke to Talia and began by asking what was at issue in the case.
So this case came to me in early 2015, so quite a while ago now. A gentleman who's known as Robert Masson, is his pseudonym in the court proceedings, came to me because the mother of his child had decided that she wanted to move with her new partner to New Zealand. Now, the child was 9 years old at the time, or 8 years old at the time, and the child had been conceived in an at-home insemination where my client, who is a gay man, and the mother, who is a lesbian, decided that they would, they'd reached a stage in their life where they hadn't met a partner, that they wanted to have children, and they agreed that they'd been friends for, 20-odd years. Why wouldn't they, decide to co-parent a child together? So the child was conceived at home insemination. 8 or 9 years passed. Mum wanted to move to New Zealand, and my client came to me and said, I can't, comprehend the idea of my daughter being moved to New Zealand after I've been involved in her life, her care, her welfare, decisions about schooling, taking her to extracurricular activities and all the rest of it for her entire life. And the child called her, called him dad, and he said, what can we do about this? And that's how I got involved, basically. And 5 years has passed, and we've had many court proceedings, starting in the family court, and it's escalated to the High Court. Who is a parent? That's the question at the heart of this matter, and I think you've correctly identified that different areas of the Joy community would have different views towards the definition of who is a parent, and it's not a question that is a decision, I guess, that we're asking the High Court to make lightly here, because obviously it does have a ripple effect once the High Court decides who can be a parent. I guess what we're asking the court to do is to find that whatever a child's experience is about who their parents are should be mirrored in the law, irrespective of the sexuality or the gender or anything to do with how the parents identify or how the child was brought into the world. The law is quite clear. If a donor donates sperm or even an egg to a clinic through the clinic or the proper unknown donor processes, this case doesn't seek to disturb that at all, because it's quite clear they're an unknown donor, they've got no involvement with the child, and the same-sex male or female couple or even potentially a heterosexual couple is the recipient of that egg or that sperm, and they go off and they have a child. The question is known donors. So we're talking about a situation where a friend or a family member of one of the couple may donate and then have an active involvement in the child's life in a parental role. Now, things are quite clear if you have a same-sex female couple. There's no question there about who the parents are. It's always going to be the two women. Section 68 of the Family Law Act makes that very clear. The situation we're talking about is a known donor where there's a single woman, so one parent, or a single man potentially, so one parent. So there's, I guess, a gap of or a space that a second parent could be put into, and it could be that known donor if they play a parental role and are known to the child and the child's community as their parent. I think the implications, if we're successful, so that is that our client is recognised as a parent, the implication will be that there will be a lot more trepidation or cautiousness that will need to be undertaken before people enter into donor agreements with someone that is known to them, because there is a greater risk of that person potentially being a parent, being recognised legally as a parent in the future. Now, I don't think that it is a bad thing for that person to be recognised as a parent if their experience of the child is that they are a parent. But there will be more cautiousness that that will need to be displayed or undertaken by people. If we're not successful, so that is that the donor is not found to be a parent, no matter what the intention was or the child's experience, then the effect will be that perhaps more known donors will be used because the law will be certain about the fact that they cannot be recognised as a parent in the future.
That was Talia Blair from Steiner Legal. A decision is expected from the High Court towards the end of the year.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.